You'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses this morning of Hebrews chapter 12. This is the last in the series of True North. Next week we're going to start a series out of Joshua called Courage, and I hope that you'll take at least some time to read the scripture that's listed in the bulletin for next week. That kind of helps out you and helps me, knowing that you've read that ahead of time. And I hope that the series on True North has been beneficial to you, and that you have learned. This past Thursday, and this is not a plug for one thing to get another thing, last Thursday I was interviewed by Charles Townsend and James Owens. They have a podcast for The Connection, and I was part of that podcast. It was almost an hour long. We just laughed a lot and talked a lot. If you would like to hear that podcast, you can go to my blog. It's going to be posted today. And I'm going to ask Ryan Spires to put it on the website. But you can go to my blog, BillGraney.com, and I talk about it and give the link to that podcast. And it was quite an experience. First time I'd ever done anything like that before. And like I said, we laughed a lot, talked a lot, and so I hope that you will take a chance and go there to hear that. If you don't want to go to the blog, that's fine. Wait till Ryan puts it on the website, and you'll be able to hear it from there. And it was an interesting experience, and one that Ryan and I will be talking about in the future. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that if you'd like to go there and hear that, you can get it from my blog, and it'll take you directly to that podcast, and you can listen to it. Okay, let's read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. It's called Finishing Well, and you will understand why I chose that title. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Well, let's pray. Lord, open your word up to us this morning. Help us to come as we are and realize that you have said, just come as you are. And so as we do, help us to bring our brokenness, help us to bring our sin, help us to bring the shame, the fear, the doubts, the questions that we have, and help us to bring them to you. And I pray, Father, that as we go through the message today, that you will speak to our hearts through your word, that your spirit will show us what we need to hear, convict us where we need convicted, uplift us where we need uplifted, and encourage us. But Lord, I pray that you will just find our hearts ready to hear what you have to say. And as we have gone through this series on True North, and as we bring it to a close, help us to finish well. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside, and that we might do what the writer of Hebrews says, to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So help us to look to Jesus and see him and him only. It's in his name I pray. Amen. When I was growing up, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. And I guess that was good advice for me, because I was not one of those people who sat still very long. I don't have ADHD or ADD, although some people probably think I do. But I tended not to finish things. So my parents put out a rule, I guess you could say a law, that you are going to finish what you start. And they followed through with that. When I was in eighth grade, I had a friend who asked me to join the Model Airplane Club. Now, you have to understand, these hands do not do fine things. You know, they are not hands that work tools very well. They work jigsaw puzzles because that requires nothing. So I joined this Model Airplane Club, and part of the airplane club, it met after school, and we had to build airplanes. And so we had to take this fine balsam wood, we had to cut it, measure it, cut it, take this skin and put it over it, and these planes had to fly. Notice, they had to fly. Maybe I should say they were supposed to fly. So the day came that we brought, you know, our finished product to the gymnasium, and everybody was flying their planes, and some of them, I mean, they were really flying. Bills goes, choof, choof. Maybe being part of the Model Airplane Club is not for me. But my parents had a rule. What was it? Finish what you started. So I could not opt out of the Model Airplane Club till school or till that semester was over with. And so there was quitting to them, and to me was no option. We've gone through the Two North series, and we've spent a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know if you noticed that or not. We've spent a lot of time. We've talked about Noah. We've talked about Enoch. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Moses. We've talked about a whole bunch of different men. And these were men who followed the clear leading of God. I guess if you were to put it down to it, there would be a verse of scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, that would basically be the beginning part of our series. And the idea is, don't throw away your confidence. You have need of endurance. And so if I was to say that one scripture, or there was a scripture to kind of wrap everything up, would not only encompass Hebrews 11, but encompass today, it would be this one: you have need of endurance. So Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with people who took that scripture to heart. Finishing well is a good idea. And it's a good thought for all of us, and it's a goal for all of us to say, you know, when I live my life, the best thing I can do is to finish well. Whether it's from this point or from today on, no matter how much time I have left, I want to finish well. And that's what I hope to give you this morning, is some ideas from Hebrews chapter 12 on how we can finish well. So let's begin by talking about how we are called to finish well. When we talked about True North, I used a lot of sea-type metaphors in that. Talked about different ideas about the sea. But when we get to Hebrews chapter 12, the metaphor changes. We're no longer talking about the sea. We're talking about racing. Notice how he changes gears in verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He wants us to run. The word run in the Greek is from the word agon, A-G-O-N, from which we get our word agony. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to run, that is exactly how I would feel. It would describe me to a T. It would be agony. But what he's getting us to the idea of is, we are not in this run, this race, for a sprint. We are not in this race for a short distance. The Christian walk, the life of the Christ follower, is a long distance run. It is not given to the person who starts out like a rocket. That's not where the prize goes. The prize doesn't go to the one who says, well, I'm ahead of everybody else right now. The prize is given to the one who finishes well. Because it is a long distance run. It is not a short distance. It's cross country. It's a marathon. And if you've ever met anybody who has done any of that, it is grueling, it is exhausting, and it uses every bit of energy you have. And you can't run casually. If you've ever met anybody who's ever trained for a marathon or for a long distance run or for anything like that, you know that you cannot train casually. Our son-in-law several years ago decided to compete in an Ironman triathlon in Wisconsin. I can guarantee you Jason didn't decide to do it casually. He worked 8 hours a day and would come home and he would either run or ride or lift. On weekends, he would sometimes run, then ride, then run. And his whole life was captivated by this marathon, this triathlon, this Ironman that he was going to be involved in. He could not take it casually. He couldn't wake up and say, I don't feel like training today. Because you see, it's a marathon, it's a long distance race. But one of the things that we have to understand is we have to compete according to the rules. You see, being in a marathon takes its toll on you emotionally. It takes its toll on you physically. It takes its toll on you mentally. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. But one of the things we have to do is we have to compete according to the rules. Back in 1980, some of you are old enough to remember this, but back in 1980, there was a woman named Rosie Ruiz. Some of you may know of her. She won the Boston Marathon for 7 days. On the seventh day, they found out that she cheated. She didn't run the marathon. She joined up somewhere along the line. She remembered none of the monuments, none of the places the people ran by. She didn't have the facial features and the body features of, I'm wiped out. And so finally, after some investigation and people saying, well, you know, I never saw her come by here, they realized that she cheated. So they took her award away. She was not known for her ability. She was known for her audacity. Because she cheated. Spiritually, our race is not a walk in the park. If you have been a Christ follower for any amount of time, you know that your race is not a sprint. You know that your race is draining. You know that it wipes you out. Sometimes it's demanding. Sometimes it just takes its toll on you and it requires everything you have to say, I'm going to stay with this race. I am not going to give up. The race is a long distance run. But there are two differences in the spiritual race versus the race that we would run in life. Number one, there is an individual course laid out for each one of us. I cannot run your race. And you cannot run mine. Abraham didn't run Moses' race. Enoch didn't run Jacob's race. We each run our own race. My course is unique. Your course is unique. And that's what the problem comes in at, is when we begin to say, it's not fair. Because you see, each race is different. My course is different from your course. And when I start saying, wait a second, God, it's not fair that this happened to me and this did not happen to that person over there. That's because they're running a different race than you are. I'm running a different race than you are. And so we need to understand that each one of us have an individual course, an individual race to run. The second thing we need to see is we are not in competition with each other. We are not in competition with anybody else. It doesn't matter. Who is the fastest? It doesn't matter whether you get out of the blocks quicker than I do. What really matters is whether you finish. You're rewarded not because you ran better, not because you ran faster than me, or I ran faster than you. You're rewarded because you ran your race. Verse 1 uses an interesting word here. It's the word endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word endurance literally means steady determination. It's going when everything else is going against us. It's going when we want to slow down and when we want to give up. You see what's interesting? And when you use this running motif, sprinters make lousy long-distance runners. You know why? Because they're not geared to be long-distance runners. They're geared for the 100 meters, the spurt. If they are to ever become a long-distance runner, they would have to totally retrain themselves. The same thing is true of a long-distance runner. If they want to become a sprinter, they would have to totally retrain their muscles, totally retrain their thinking of how to become a sprinter. Why? Because each one of us are running our own race. And each one of us have to do it with endurance. And so I encourage you in that. There's a second part of this, is we must be determined to prepare for the long distance run. We have to be determined to be prepared for finishing well. Our race requires endurance. And we battle against discouragement. Look at verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Look at the rest of this. So that you may not, what? Grow weary or faint-hearted. It's interesting to me when you talk to a runner or anybody who has decided to do long distance, they have what they call hitting the wall. Now, if you've never followed running, you don't know what that means. It's simply this. There is a certain point in the race when they reach that point where they feel like they hit the wall. Not literally. But where they are done, they have nothing left. Their body says stop. Their mind says stop. Give up and quit. And what is required of them is that they talk themselves through that wall and say, no, I will not stop. It takes a determination. It takes a willingness to not quit. Now, I'm not a runner. I tried it a couple times and I thought, this is not for me. I just didn't like it. But back in 1995, I did a ride called Tosser, T-O-S-R-V. It's Tour of the Scioto River Valley. It's 105 miles from Columbus, Ohio to Portsmouth, Ohio. I rode with a friend, went over there on Friday, and the day was absolutely gorgeous. We rode about 35 to 50 miles that day in preparation for the next day. The next day we woke up and it was a deluge. I mean, it was raining so hard, but they don't cancel this ride for nothing. So we took off from the starting gate and he was gone. Pew! I never saw him again until I hit Portsmouth, Ohio. And it was a miserable day for me. I persevered because I wasn't going to stop in the middle of nothing, you know. But what happened was I didn't understand the importance of feeding myself. I was fairly new to that kind of cycling, and I didn't understand the importance of making sure that I got enough water, got enough hydration, got enough food to keep on going. And I made it to Portsmouth, Ohio, and I was wiped out. I ate that night, ate breakfast the next morning, I made 26 miles back home, and then I had nothing left in the tank. I quit. I said, I'm done. And Paul was riding with me, and I said, Paul, you can keep on going. I can't go anymore. I'm done. I got off my bike, and I quit. You know why? Because I was ill-prepared for the long-distance ride. I was ill-prepared for the 105 miles down one day and the 105 miles back the next day. And I quit. I learned firsthand what it means to grow weary and faint-hearted and give up. The writer of Hebrews warns us against that spiritually. He warns us against an exhaustion that comes of growing weary and faint-hearted. What I want to do the rest of the morning is just give you four things on how can we prepare to finish well. How can we prepare to finish well? Number one, we follow the example of the heroes of our faith. We follow the example of the heroes of the faith. That's what Hebrews 11 was all about. Tell you what, some of the best reading is reading about Abraham and reading about Daniel and reading about these heroes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Reading about Jeremiah and reading about Isaiah and these men and women who did not give up, who did not quit. There's a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I read a biography, it had to be about a yo thick, and it took me a long time, but Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany, a Lutheran pastor in Germany, during World War II. He would not knuckle under to the Nazi regime. And he was thrown in jail because of his refusal to give in to the Nazis. He was then accused of trying to have a plot against assassinating Hitler, and he was eventually killed, martyred, massacred, because he refused to give in. 3 days later, Hitler committed suicide. The story, though, is that Dietrich Bonhoeffer would not compromise his faith. He was a hero because he stood against the grain. Martin Luther is another example. Standing against the grain of the Roman Catholic Church when he nailed his 95 theses to the church door. He stood against the grain. Read about the heroes of your faith. Understand that as you read these stories, these are people who shine because they were examples because of their faith. The second thing I want you to see is to realize that the race we run is filled with distractions. The race we run is filled with distractions. That's why verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1 says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. You know, if I was to be a sprinter, I would not sprint in these clothes. You ever seen a sprinter in jeans? Do you ever see a sprinter who puts leg weights on and a vest? No. Why? Because they are laying aside everything that holds them back, that will cling to them, that will hold them down, because they want to run their race. That's what we have to do with sin. We have to identify what causes us to struggle. Identify what causes us to stumble and say, okay, I'm going to lay that aside. I'm going to get rid of it and I'm going to push it aside. Third, disqualification is a real possibility. I did not say that a Christ follower loses his salvation. I did say that disqualification is a possibility. In the Middle East, the men wore robes. They still do. When they run, you know what they do? They gather the robes up, tuck it in their belts so they can run. So why? Because they wouldn't trip up. I read an interesting story about how each of us are susceptible to certain sins. We cannot and must not excuse those sins. We have to take hold of them and realize these things are tripping us up. We can't excuse them. We can't say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to let them slide. They will halt our progress. They will hold us down. They will cause us to stumble. Back in 1988, in the Summer Olympics, on September 24th, there was a runner named Ben Johnson. He ran the race of his life. He won the gold medal in the 100-meter dash. He blew out Carl Lewis. He was the toast of Canada until 2 days later when they found out that he was using steroids. Stripped him of his award. He went back to Toronto, where he lived, disgraced, without his reward. He was, he had broken the rules, and he returned home a broken man. He wasn't stripped of his citizenship, but what he did lose was his honor, his reputation, and his reward. Understand, folks, that if we allow sin to hang around and we don't deal with it, it's going to trip us up. If we want to finish well, we need to deal with those things that are holding us down. Those things that want to grab us by the leg and trip us up. And number four, keep your eyes on Jesus. That is what he says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Runners keep their eye on the goal. Can you imagine being a cross-country runner as you're running through the woods, looking behind you? Dumb. Why? There's trees there. There's roots there. And I guarantee you, if you're too busy looking around, there goes that tree, there goes you, or there goes that root, and there you go, doing a face plant. Because you see, they have to keep their eyes forward. To me, it's like cutting grass, looking backwards. You don't go in a straight line. And that's what the problem is. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Don't look at anybody else. Don't say, well, they're messed up, or they're doing okay. No. Don't look back. Don't look around. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Back in 1954, a monumental thing happened in the world of running. Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Up until that point, there had never been a runner who had run a mile less than 4 minutes. Roger Bannister broke that and proved that it could be done not only physically but mentally. Not too much later, another man named John Landy broke his record. Well, the British Commonwealth Games were that year, and so Bannister was going to race against Landy at those games. They were calling it the Miracle Mile. Without ever seeing those two compete against each other, they were calling it the Miracle Mile because these two men who had broken a 4-minute mile were racing against each other. The race started, and John Landy shot off like a rocket. He was ahead for almost the whole race until the last turn when he decided to look around to see where Roger Bannister was. Two things happened. Number one, he lost his stride. And number two, when he looked this way, Roger Bannister passed him that way and beat him to the tape. You know why? Because Roger Bannister had his eye on the goal. John Landy did not. Folks, if we're going to finish well, we can't be looking at everybody else. We can't be looking and saying, now how are they doing or what are they doing? We look to Jesus. And we keep our eye on the goal of finishing well. My goal has to be, your goal has to be finishing well by looking at Jesus, not anybody else. It's your race, folks. You're not running mine, and I am not running yours. But your race can be run well by looking and focusing on Jesus. That's how you finish well. Start today. And decide that today you will finish well. Don't worry about your past. It's done. Over with, done, gone. See it, learn it, go from there and say, good, it's back there. Today and tomorrow is all that matters. So start today by saying, I will run my race and I will finish well. No matter how many days I have left, no matter how many years I have left, I will run my race and I will look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, and I'm going to finish well. Let's pray. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to finish well. Help us to lay aside the sin that so easily clings to us, as the writer of Hebrews says. Help us to take our robes, tuck them in our belts, and run. But not run, try to run somebody else's race, not worry about somebody else and how they're running. But instead, we're looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the Father. Help us not to grow weary and become faint-hearted, but instead help us to realize that we're in a long-distance run. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a cross-country race. And you've asked us simply to trust you, to run with you, and let you lead us. And so, Father, I'm going to pray that when we get down, when we get angry, when we get faint-hearted, that you'll hold our hand, that you will feed us and build us up as we keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Give us the strength to keep going and then to finish well. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there any better example than Jesus of someone who finished well? I don't know of any. You know, we can read the stories of Daniel in a lion's den. We could read the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We can read the stories of others. We can read the story of Stephen, who was stoned. We can read the story of the early martyrs who lost their face. Some of them were chopped in half. Some of them were lost their heads. Some of them were burned at the stake. You know, we can read all those stories, but nobody sets example for us like Jesus. Because he went to the cross where he gave his life. He finished well. He didn't shirk it. The only time he ever looked elsewhere, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. But other than that, he looked to his Father, and he said, into your hands, I commit my spirit. As you take communion this morning, I pray that you will finish well. I pray that you will see Jesus as the perfect example of what it means to be faithful all the way to the end, to not grow weary, to not get faint-hearted and not to give up, but to follow the example of someone who finished well. We're going to serve you communion, then I'll come back up and lead us together.